The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you once again for hanging out with me. I appreciate it very, very much. Since we last talked, had a wonderful camp out, the old Hayes Boy camp out down at West Boggs Park in beautiful Lagodi, Indiana. Had a great time down there. The weather was fantastic. The fishing was solid. And just the laughter hurt your belly. So what better to get over a big shutdown and a pandemic than a family camp out? Anyway, had a great time. Hope you had one too. Let's get to news of the week brought to you by three different folks. One, of course, my friend Lance Like at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And Kenny Bland Auctions, they are your full service auction service offering the pre-planning of the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at kennyblandauctions.com. And if you need a roof, do what I did. Give Steve's Roofing and Sheet Metal a call. They're your local professionals that have a level of quality unmatched by the competition. Steve's Roofing is your local expert in all things residential roofing, including metal shingles, tiles, and gutters. Google them, Steve's Roofing, and they will pop right up. I'm sure they will. Okay, we're heading into the final stretch of the year, believe it or not. Over the last 30 years, from 1990 through the end of 19, the S&P 500 has gained, on average, 4.7% over the final 3 months of the year. Actually, 24 of the last 30 fourth quarters have produced a positive return. We'll see, with this crazy presidential election happening and uncertainty about when we'll actually know who the president is, could be a little bit choppy. But you never know. We're going to talk to Rod in a few minutes about that. The 9.1% drop in the U.S. economy in the second quarter of 2009 in the second quarter of 2020. So between that year, right, it was smaller than many others. Would you believe it that India was down 25%, the U.K. 20%, Mexico 17%, France 13%. And Italy down 12%. Canada was actually down even more than that by 11.5%. This comes from the Economic Cooperation and Development Group. Lots of people, 22% of Americans, that's 74 million people, are on Medicaid. That's incredible. 22% of Americans are on Medicaid. That's the nation's health care program for low-income Americans that's jointly funded by federal and states. Now, I carry this article around with me from the Wall Street Journal, March 29th of 18. So this is 2 years ago. And here's what it says. It says that this is part of Medicaid pension. Medicaid, let's see, the title was Medicaid Consumes Highest Portion of Non-Federal Tax Revenue Since 1960. This was 2 years ago. The U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services said, Medicaid costs alone are projected to grow so fast that within 10 years, they would crowd out virtually every other category of spending on higher education, infrastructure, safety, you name it. He predicted it would all get squeezed out. So you think taxes are staying low? I don't think so. All right. Our nation's debt has grown from $22.6 trillion from last year to almost $27 trillion as of the 24th of September. It's an increase of $4.163 trillion. That's equivalent to $11.4 billion of new debt per day, $475 million per hour, $7.9 million per minute, or $132,000 per second over the past year. That comes directly from the Treasury Department. Legislation signed by President Trump in July of 2019, suspended our country's debt ceiling until July of 2021, so there's no statutory limit on how much we can borrow for the next 10 months. The debt ceiling has been raised temporarily or extended or suspended 87 times since 1960. Who's joking who? Before COVID-19, the United States hit out of work Americans was around 5.79 million. As of the end of August, the number of out of work Americans was 13.55 million, but now we're back down to 7.76 million. That's good. That's good news. That comes from the Labor Department. All right, and finally, this is just kind of funny to me, so I thought I would share it because it does have numbers related to it. With 57 people in a room, there's 90, which we are not allowed to have, by the way, here in Monroe County. But anyway, let's hypothetically say we had 57 people in a room. There's a 99% chance that two people in that group have the exact same birthday. When you only have 32 people in a room, there's a 75% chance that two people in the room will have the same birthday. And when you have 23 people in a room, there's a 51% chance that two people in the room, yes, will have the same birthday. Isn't that interesting? I was actually on the phone with a new client of ours this week, and we were talking about trying to get together for a follow-up. And I said, well, my anniversary is October 23rd, so we might be out that week. And she said, oh, our anniversary's October 23rd. So there you go. Coincidence, right? All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, what is $1 trillion? Can you really get your head around what is $1 trillion? I went through this exercise before, but I want to do it again. I'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Jacob knows I like to hear that song all the way through to that last little beat. It makes me think of where I want to go in the next couple of months, which is somewhere warm, somewhere on the beach, and you know, whatever you have in your hand, it doesn't make any difference, from iced tea to a margarita, right? Somewhere in between. Welcome back to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. You know, we've talked about this before, but when you start adding $1 trillion and $2 trillion, oh, we're going to have another stimulus, right, coming through, then an infrastructure bill with another $1 trillion. We just keep kind of saying this, and then we all become completely numb to what that really means. What it means is that our debt's growing, and we are only paying the interest on our debt. We're not paying principal. It's not like a mortgage. We pay principal and interest. It's just interest. And then when a bond comes due, we just buy another, sell another bond, and roll it out to people. And right now, the appetite still seems to be incredibly high for the U.S. Treasury. But what is $1 trillion? Well, our friend Tom Hegna, Paychecks and Playchecks, and many other things. He's been on the show as well. He says most people don't understand what $1 trillion is. So he puts it this way. If $1 equals 1 second, $1 million is 11 and a half days. $1 billion is 32 years, and $1 trillion equals 32,000 years. That's just $1 trillion. Now we have $28 trillion in debt. That's times 28. Now let's put it another way. Let's talk about Bill Gates. Last time I checked, Bill Gates was worth about $86 billion. That's a lot of money. Now, $86 billion. Let's say that he tried to withdraw. Let's say he cashed all his stock in and he wanted to withdraw that from the bank. Well, he couldn't, first of all. There's not that much actual cash out there. But let's say he did. And he said, okay, I'm going to stack these $100 bills up that I just got. I just received this. It would reach 55 miles in the air, 55 miles high. Most commercial airlines fly at around 30 to 40,000 feet, which is five and a half miles. So his $100 bills will stack higher, 10 times higher than what most commercial airlines fly. So imagine if $100 bills reaching 10 times higher than the clouds, you'll be getting somewhere close to Bill's fortune. Now, $1 billion stacked up would be taller than the world's tallest building. That's just $1 billion, right? $1 trillion, just $1 trillion, not 27 or 26, just one, would be 631 miles high. That's 2.5 times higher than the National Space Station. This is the problem, folks. This is the problem. Now Congress wants to add another $2 trillion in stimulus of fake money to come our way. How is this possible? It's because we live in what's called a fiat world, which basically means it's fake money or perceived or made up. We just have a perceived value that this means something. We have no choice to play but to play along and hope everyone else does too. That's where we are today. Now, I don't care who says what, but taxes have no choice but to go up at some point in the future. All taxes. And we've done this to ourselves over the past decades. This isn't just a new thing. This has been going on for years and years and years and years. You have to go all the way back to the Nixon administration when they detached us from the gold standard for the very last time. And we've had a few years where, you know, we actually brought in enough to pay our bills, but it just happened for a few years. But that didn't reduce our debt. We just continued to add more and more debt. I pulled out of something that I went through back in 2000, and it was projecting that at the current rate, our debt would be somewhere around $20 trillion today. Wasn't too far off, but usually most of the time when they give you estimates on income, it comes in lower. When they give you an estimate on expenses, it always comes up higher. So what I'm telling you, what I'm begging you and pleading to you to do is to not put any more money away tax deferred, meaning I have to pay the taxes later. What does that mean? My 401k, my IRAs. Fortunately, most of you have what's called a Roth option in your 401k. What does that mean? That means you pay the tax now. It goes into the Roth. It will grow tax-free, and when you take it out, it's tax-free. Same thing with a Roth IRA. You pay tax on the seed money that goes in, but the harvest that it creates, no, it's all yours, tax-free. And it's tax-free to your spouse, and it's tax-free to your kids or grandkids, whoever you set that up to be as your beneficiary. And then they have this magical thing called Roth conversions, which says I can convert money from my traditional to my Roth, which means I'm paying the tax now at today's historically low rates. We've never had rates this low. 1913 is when the tax rate was first introduced. It was 7%. Only a few people paid it. But by the time we came around to World War II, the top marginal rate was in the 90s. But we were hooked back in 1913. We were hooked. It was like a drug. And the more we wanted. Then rates in the 70s kind of came down, and then they came down even more during the Reagan years. Then they went up a little bit during the first Bush administration. But remember his famous words, read my lips, no new taxes. Well, guess what? We had more taxes. And they went down again, and you know, and here we are. I mean, we are at the lowest historical tax rate. So why not take advantage of it? It's a gift card. It expires every year. You have this year and hopefully five more years to move as much money as possible from tax-deferred to tax-free. It's a big deal, and that's why I'm writing the book 2025, The Final Drive. I'm going to work on it again today, or this evening, and we're going to knock this thing out. I'm committed to it, but it's been tough. It's been tough, especially as the narrative continues to get even better. You know, I don't know how much more. It doesn't matter at this point, because there is a tax train. It's coming, as David McKnight puts it. His new book's coming out really soon. And I'm just trying to plead with people to listen, tell your friends, spread the word. You know, I have a couple workshops that I did called Taxes in Retirement that are available. If you'd like to see it, we have it recorded. Go to cfci.us. I don't think it's on our website, but cfci.us, and contact us and say, hey, I'd like to see the workshop. It's about 40 to 50 minutes long. But it's extremely compelling. It tells you my why I'm so passionate about what we're doing. And I'm going to talk to you about how to do it as well and some of the tools available. It's about, like I said, 50 minutes long. So take, if you want a copy of it, we'll just send it to you. Email cfci.us. All right. I told you a few months ago it's going to be an interesting fall, and it has been so far. You know, I see Disney finally having to fold their tent and lay off about 28,000 park workers. California pretty much said to Disney, hey, you're going to remain closed for the foreseeable future due to COVID concerns. So, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I've chosen myself not to go to Disney. Why? I don't want to walk around the park on a hot day with a mask on. You know, that's my choice. I don't want to worry about if I'm standing too close to someone. I'd rather be on a bass boat flipping a jig or, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I want to do. So my wife now is telling me we might go to Disney World. A friend of mine's there now, and he and I kind of are in the same mode about, yeah, I don't want to do this, but I'll do that kind of thing. So I can't wait till he gets back and give us the real, truthful lowdown on how his Disney experience is, because we might go there after Thanksgiving. But anyway, we'll be back. We're going to get Rod on the phone, because it has been an interesting late summer, early fall thing. But we're going to talk to you about what we see going forward. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Rod Holloway now joins me on the phone, as he does most weeks, to give us a little of what's going on in the markets, what we see, what we're expecting, and what you should expect to see as we round out this fourth quarter. Rod, I gave a little news of the week about the fourth quarter. Over the last 30 years, the S&P has gained, on average, 4.7% over the final 3 months. 24 of the last 30 years, the market has been up. So October, November, December tend to be pretty solid months, but obviously, as we mentioned to people last month or 2 months ago, expect an interesting fall and an interesting end of the year. I don't think that narrative has changed much, do you?
No, most certainly not. I mean, obviously, we have lots of uncertainties that lie ahead of us with the election, with an uptick in coronavirus, and that was somewhat to be expected, or at least they've been saying all along, come fall, you're probably going to have an uptick. So we're having what was expected, but still, it's there. How bad does it get? Then you throw on top of it a lack of Congress being able to do anything and take action. So the on-again, off-again discussions as far as another stimulus package mm-hmm. and potential paychecks being sent out and increasing that. All of those uncertainties just continue to add to the existing turmoil that you normally get within the market and enhance or increase the volatility that we are probably going to see from this point forward.
You know, I was looking at the potential fallout that we haven't felt yet. I mean, we've had I believe Indiana University is putting furlough notices just out that is, hey, now it's on the table. Disney, obviously, not a big surprise, laying off 20. They had furloughed them and now laying off 28,000 park workers after California said, hey, Disneyland, you're going to stay closed for the foreseeable future. These types of things, airlines, and even some corporations that maybe you wouldn't expect have been able to use this as an opportunity to get rid of some higher income people. I don't know that we've felt the full impact of that yet. The only thing I'm hoping is that the majority of the people that are getting laid off or furloughed were really close to retirement anyway. And I don't know if I haven't seen any stats on that, but my guess is from what I've seen with some of the companies, that is somewhat the case, that they can continue on and, you know, things will continue to do pretty well because consumer spending ticked up, confidence has ticked up. I mean, it was over 100, I believe, and that was over expectations. So I think people overall are pretty hopeful. And when you mentioned new cases, I was looking at California specifically, and I'm like, okay, 40 million people live in California. Last Sunday, they had 2,955 new cases. 805 cases overall, not deaths, cases. If I'm my math's right, that's about 2%. And you won't let them reopen? I mean, kind of give me a break, you know? So I just think the idea that everybody, whether it's states, whether it's local governments like ours here, which I think some of the government outreach here has been ridiculous as well, and probably not within the law in some cases, but that's my own thoughts, that it's going to keep this thing from just getting going. It's going to be sort of like running over a bunch of speed bumps all the time. That's just kind of my thoughts and my opinion.
Yeah, and I would agree with that because I think what you're seeing going on, because it hasn't shown up in the jobs number. Now, two reasons for that. One, some of the furloughs you just talked about were just announced. So they haven't actually handed the pink slips out to those employees. So they haven't hit the street as being unemployed yet. But secondarily, the furloughs and the layoffs that we have already seen that have taken effect, we have been able to offset by adding jobs. And part of that is coming from, we most certainly have a bifurcated economy right now. We have areas, travel, leisure, entertainment, dining, that are struggling. And they are struggling mightily versus other areas that are doing extremely well. Obviously, technology and companies enhancing and upgrading their technological platforms for the work from anywhere, as people are now calling it, instead of work from home, it's a work from anywhere environment. Construction is just absolutely booming, and especially in the residential housing market. Mm-hmm. And Glass and I've talked about this many times on his show. That area is so powerful because it has such a large multiplier effect in trickling through multiple areas of the economy versus other purchases that have a much smaller ripple or multiplier effect that go through. So yes, we have certain areas of the economy that are not only doing very well, in some cases they're doing better than what they were last year before we ever had the virus. But we have some sectors and subsectors that are doing as bad as we have probably ever seen. So yes, it is going to continue to be that bifurcated market or economy, which is going to add to the volatility within the marketplace that we see that provides all of this uncertainty. But hopefully we can just continue to slowly but surely plug forward without taking any major step backwards. It most certainly seems that we're at a place from the virus perspective. We shouldn't need a shutdown again, which would be a complete devastating impact on the overall economy, not just the few sectors that are being hit the hardest. You may have some select rollbacks in certain areas, but I think for the most part we've kind of hit an area to where worst case scenario is possibly a pause, or like I said, select areas or regions may tighten things up a little bit more. But as far as a broad rollback and taking a step backwards economically, I don't see it, but I also don't see a rapid fast recovery, because these are issues we still have to deal with. And one of the ways we've dealt with them in the restaurant business is outside dining. Well, that isn't here forever. At least we know that in the northern half.
Well, it's going to be 30-something tonight. I'm not sitting outside to eat this evening.
Exactly. We have a limited time to be able to do that. Even the resources that help make it better, such as the big propane heaters that many of the restaurants are buying, you're now hearing there's a shortage of them. So many of restaurants who didn't already have outside dining that are choosing to jump on the bandwagon for another month or two are struggling to find those resources to even make 50-degree somewhat accommodative in a cooler fall environment. So, yeah, there are still some issues to specific sectors. And it's the same sectors that have been hit the hardest from day one of this virus to where we're at today. And that's that travel, leisure, entertainment, dining, all of those things that are really suffering, which is also where you're seeing a lot of those layoffs. As you alluded to, Disney falls into multiple of those categories, you know, ESPN and sports, movies for entertainment, theme parks, and then, of course, retail sales, in which many of their businesses that are selling their products weren't necessarily deemed essential. So early on, they were part of the shutdown as well, whereas now most clothing stores, I think, have opened. It's really more on the restaurant, entertainment, travel, leisure area that still has pretty heavy limitations on them.
And, of course, mentioning Disney is not a offer or whatever I'm supposed to say. We're basically saying don't buy or sell Disney.
Yeah, we're not,
we're
not suggesting to buy or sell. We're just talking about the company and what the company is doing to combat
the environment
that they are in.
We're reporting the news, Hot Rod. We're reporting the news.
That's right.
You got to love compliance. I'm going to ask you this real quickly, and then I'll let you go. Obviously, you know, and I was going to save this for the next segment, but my title of my next segment is, did you watch the presidential debate? And then I have the word wow next to it. Well, I've asked a few people, did you watch it? Because I watched the entire thing. It was a train wreck. But when I ask people all week long, hey, did you guys watch the debate? And clients and acquaintances and friends, it's either no, I couldn't bring myself to do it. Two, I turned it on for a few minutes and I just couldn't stand it, so I turned it off. Or three, I watched the entire thing and couldn't believe what was happening. And, you know, that's kind of been my reaction. I think that was your reaction that next morning when you and I talked about that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I fall in category three. I did watch it all. I felt
unfortunately,
as though I lost a part of my life I will never, ever get back. That was a waste. You know, I don't care which side of the aisle you sit on. What I think most people really want – is facts about what you plan to do for our country and our economy and all of the aspects that go with that.
Oh, Rod, you just shut up. You just need a haircut, Rod. You need a haircut, blame. Rod. I know you need a haircut. Just shut up. Just shut up.
Exactly.
You're a fool.
The
you're a goof. Yeah.
Over, the personal insults. I mean, all of those things. You know, we don't need those. We are all smart enough to make our own decision on what policies we think best benefit us, our family members, our communities, and the country as a whole. So just give it to us that way. Let us make the decision. You don't have to tell us how awful the other person is or any of those negative, derogative terms that both sides were slinging around. I don't care who started it. It doesn't matter. When both sides end up doing it, it becomes a worthless piece of programming that doesn't provide information for the people that were watching it to try and determine that, yes, I'm solidified in the vote I plan on making, or I'm somewhere in the middle and haven't made my decision, and they sure the heck didn't hear anything that pushed them to the left or to the right to make that decision. Please. Stick to the policies that you plan to enact and how they're going to benefit us. We'll determine who's dumb, who's smart, who made bad moves, who didn't on our own. We don't need the government to tell us that, but the government's kind of forgot that. They seem to think that's their job, is to tell us what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and at what pace we should do it. No, you put the laws out there that govern things, and then we make the individual decisions underneath that. Stick to that role, government.
Couldn't say that any better myself. I hope local government was listening to that as well. And, Rod, you do really need a haircut, so I'll let you go on that one.
Hey, the power of the hair has created this rally, so until we stall out, I've got to ride it for a little while.
There you go. I'm in. Don't get a haircut. All right, but I'll see you later.
Okay, have a great show, Dave.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there's been a lot of talk about tax returns, right? Well, I'm just going to explain to people. I'm not trying to take a side. I'm just going to explain to people how taxes work in the business world, okay? I'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Well, I hope that last segment was enjoyable to you, not just educational, but also in, you know, funny, you know, because we have fun. You have to have fun. You have to have fun. And did you watch the presidential debate? Jacob was just telling me, our producer, that no, he thought he had much better things to do, like lay in his bed and not think about anything. But would you have been better off watching, like, my 90 day fiance or my 600 pound life or Dr. Pimple Popper, like my wife did? She watched a little bit of the debate with me, and she said, I can't watch this anymore. And I think when I walked in, she was watching my 600-pound life. So probably would have been better off. But one of the things that have come up and have come up a lot is taxes and tax returns. So I thought I might take a few minutes to talk about how it works in the business world, and especially maybe even with real estate companies. In real estate, there's things called like-kind exchanges, which if I sell something at a profit and I buy something else with that money, I don't have to include that in my income. It's a tax deferred. And there's something else called swap until you drop, which means you continue to exchange that property every time you sell it and buy a new one. And then when you die, your heirs receive that property at a stepped up cost basis, which means that it's now valued at date of death. They then sell it and they pay no income taxes. That'll probably go away at some point, at least on some assets. The other thing is depreciation and interest expense. That's all passed through as a deduction against other income. Owner distributions, like a dividend, that's not taxed as ordinary income. You have some carry-forward losses that can offset other income. So you have to widen the lens a little bit to see the big picture of how a company works. And I'm going to use just an example that I've seen recently. Let's say you own your own company, and let's say you have about $3 million a year of revenue. You have payroll expense that costs about 30%. That's always our biggest expense. That's $1 million. Then you have operating expense like rent, utility, copy machines, repairs and maintenance, advertising, marketing, cleaning the office, security, computers. It goes on and on. Trust me. That's another 30% or $1 million. Now you're down to the owner profits and retained earnings. So you're like, wow, you made $1 million a year? Nope. Unfortunately, you didn't. I now have to pay federal and state income tax on that million, which ends up being around $420,000. But then you have retained earnings. You can't take the entire money. You have to have some earnings. So let's say you took 20% out yourself. But remember, you paid taxes on the full million left over. Some earnings for operations, let's say you leave 10% or 15%. That's $150,000. So you take the $420,000 that you paid in taxes and the $150,000 that you have to leave in the account. So that's $570,000. Now you subtract that off the million. That puts you at about $430,000 in your pocket. Good money. There's no doubt about that. But it doesn't stop there. Let's say you have about 15 employees or so that are living, spending, sending kids to college, saving on their own retirement. That same business person paid 7.65% of each of the employees' wages for Social Security and Medicare. That's half of the 15% that's paid in. So that's another $70,000. This owner of the business with over $3 million in revenues paid over $640,000 of overall taxes. So it comes from a lot of different angles, and that's what my point is. But if you're in real estate, it's just different. And I'm not trying to make excuses for the president paying $750 supposedly in taxes for 2 years. He paid a lot more than that. He paid a lot of payroll taxes, which then put a lot of people out there to spend money, which then created that multiplier effect that Rod was talking about. But I believe if you widen the lens back and say over the last 10 years or 15 years, how much have you paid in tax? I think we'll see a much different picture. I don't know that we'll ever even see it, but I just wanted to take a few minutes to talk about that because it is important for us to understand it and not just hear the narrative that, oh, a school teacher in Chicago paid more income taxes than you as the president. There's just always more to the story. There's always three sides to the story. There's that side, and the one in the middle that's normally the right one. All right, so let's see where I am on time. I think I'm good. So let's take a quick break. I'll be back at Your Money with David Hayes. Mellencamp action. I was actually, when I came in the studio, I was hearing the TTS side, and that exact song was being played on their side of the world. So the studios are, I wish I had like a cam in here, you could see it, but the studios are side by side. We had the 1370 side, and then you have the TTS side, one door to the right, one door to the left, but they have a really incredible studio over there, and ours used to be like 1960s. Well, they finally upgraded all the equipment over here, and it works much, much better, I think maybe a year ago or so. Yeah, so that's where I sit today. You know, it's interesting when I look at the Wall Street Journal every day, just the headlines, and today's Thursday said Fed curbs payouts, buybacks at banks. And I read the entire article, and they talk about how they're going to limit banks buying back their stock, limiting dividend distributions because they want the banks to get healthy capital-wise, which leads you to believe that the Fed might be seeing something coming down the road potentially where the banks might need bigger loan losses. So that's why we've been preaching and actually doing quality, 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 quality companies, whether it's on the debt side or the stock side, quality, because you just don't know who, even some quality companies, you might say, wow, I never saw that coming. It's called a falling angel, and we haven't seen those yet. We don't know who they are. So that's why you just have to be really, really diligent and make sure that you're with a good portfolio manager that understands what you're after, what you're looking for, and aligns you that way. But either way, it has to be quality, debt side or on the equity side. So last week, just a couple final thoughts before we wrap up the show. Last week, I wrapped up with the power of positive thinking and never underestimate the value of association, not being the downer, but the upper with everyone you interact with, doing things, random acts of kindness. That was something many of you needed to hear, and I heard it from you, and I appreciate that very much. Many reached out and said something about it, and you know, I don't know exactly what I said or how I said it. I didn't even go back and listen, but I think all of us need someone to say something that shows they care, and just at the right time that they need it. And you know, I used to say sometimes years ago when Misty and I first started going back to church, we both grew up in the church, but went back to church after we got married because, you know, we were in college and things, you know, we kind of quit going, many of us do, and, you know, that's okay. But anyway, so I thought, every time I go to church, I mean, I feel like that he's talking right to me, like he knows I'm here. Well, that's not the case, but it's just something that I needed to hear, or maybe I didn't want to hear, but he was telling it anyway. And I just believe that last week there was a handful of people, and if you're listening this week, you know who you are, that it was the right message at the right time, at the right moment for you. So you never know, you know, what you say and what you do and how that interacts with people or helps people, lift them up. So just continue to be that beacon of optimism, and I think it will be contagious and people will love it. So this week, I was on the Big Brothers and Big Sisters Gala, and I was reminded that how important mentorship is. It is very, very important. I look at my own life, and I think about the coaches I had, the teachers I had, the friends that I've had, and how important that is. So continue to look to be a mentor. I think that's really important, whether it's officially through the Bigs program or just looking for that opportunity. This week, CASA, who I'm on the board of, has their virtual gala. It's Friday night, and how important it is for a child to have a voice when they're going through the system. Like I said, you don't have to be a Big Brother or a CASA to make a difference. Just look for chances to jump in. One kid, 1 hour each week. What if it was two kids, 1 hour each week? If we all did that, do you think it would change things? I sure think it would. I had my friend Caleb on the show a few months back, and his story is fantastic. I talked to him again yesterday. Here's a kid that, you know, grew up in the hood in Indianapolis, was able to get into Indiana on a basically a minority program at the Kelly School. He fights and calls his way through, gets through, goes to China, speaks Mandarin, comes back, still has his dreadlocks, still looks the way he always looked, but has deliberately gone back into his neighborhood to do real estate rehab and create a situation where kids can say, wow, he looks like me, he talks like me, and I can be like him someday. And he is a mentor now to many young kids up in Indianapolis. And I ran into him, you know, when he was here at IU, and we were able to build a friendship together. And I love it. I love it when he calls and my wife's in the car with me, and he's like, hey, Dave. You know, he'll ask me the crazy stuff, you know, and like, you know, oh, this is what I would do, Caleb, and here's why. And, oh, man, I appreciate that. I need to hang up. Well, now that my son's up there in Indy and, you know, he has a house up there and things have gone wrong with the house, Caleb's like, hey, well, Dave, what can I do to help? So, you know, we said this early on, we're all in this together. And I hated the depression sounding, we're all in this together voice. I hated that. Hey, we're all in this together, man. We're all in this together. That's the way it should be portrayed. We're not, oh, we're all in this together. And Caleb now is like, hey, man, we're all in this together. Let's make this happen. I'll get that drain fixed. We'll get that, you know, air conditioning unit worked out. And it's been a real blessing to have him in my life. But you know what? Everyone needs people like that in their lives. So like I said, he thinks that I've given him a lot. I think he's given me much more than he'll ever know. So, again, it's a two-way street. All right, let's take a break. We'll wrap up the show. Talk about next week. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, once again, a shout-out to the Like Law Group, Kenny Bland Auctions, and Steve's Roofing for putting on a fantastic roof down at my house. The yard sign is still there, and it'll stay there because I want people to know that if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for you. Plus, you know, my brother runs the estimating portion of that, and my nephew is the residential guy. So, not that I have a vested interest, but, you know, everyone, I wouldn't promote something if I didn't believe in it. And, in fact, when they bring reads to me, I don't want to, I'm not, if there was something that I knew or thought that of a particular person, a company or whatever, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do the reads. I mean, they're not going to fire me over it. I don't even get paid. So I've been showing up here for 19 years, continue to love it, enjoy being here and having a voice, and been able to dig you through things, man. We've been through 9/11 together. I was on air during the Challenger disaster. I mean, I've been through a lot here with you guys, and I know some of you have been with me for a long, long time. Some of you are new, but we hope that we continue to add more and more listeners and we can give some real value to everyone. All right, so next week, Doug Hughes and the gang will take over as I will be in Alabama bass fishing with a group of friends. Looking really forward to that. You know, this year has given me an opportunity to do things that I have never been able to do. I have enjoyed the outdoors more this year than I have in the collective 5 years combined, because I have been on the go, go, go. You know me. I mean, they would say, where's David this week? I mean, Glass used to say, like, where's Waldo? Where are you calling in from this week? It was crazy. So Everything in my world has been canceled this year. And at first, I'm like, oh, man, we're not going to Hawaii. This was back in April. There was a conference in Hawaii. I couldn't wait to go. I was trying to talk the guy into not canceling it. The main person, he called me and said, what do you think? And I'm like, well, you know, I don't want you to, but whatever. Well, he did, and that was the right call at the right time. So all my Ed Slot conference, everything off the books. It's all virtual now, which I hate those, but, you know, they're better than nothing, I guess. But it allows me to do a meeting from home, or I just did a call-in on my bass boat from Boggs Park to Glass. That was Wednesday night. And he said, man, it sounds like you're here in the studio with us. You're so clear. Good reception on Boggs Park Lake. So it's been great. Been spending more time with my family than I've been able to do in years, except my son, who's in Indianapolis, and rarely get to see him. But you heard all about that last week. So, yeah, it's been great. So I hope everyone enjoyed the show. If you missed any of it, you can always catch it on Saturday mornings right before the Bloomington Review with my good friend Jim Inman. That's 9 o'clock in the morning we come back on. Then, after that, you can always go to WGCLradio.com. And I'm assuming that we have our process in place where it's working well. You can go to iTunes and subscribe, or Google Play Music, which I've never done. But I do know that it pops up, and it will remind you that a new show has been added. And then we are going to create a new podcast. We're working on it now, getting our room put together. It looks like, I was hoping for an October launch. It's not going to happen because we've ordered some equipment. There's a lot more work to be done. But sometime end of the year, first of the year, we're hoping to have a new podcast. And it will be just, you know, random thoughts, situations that occurred. You know, I'm always like, hey, if this happened to this person, then that probably would happen to other people. For instance, I had a call this week where a gentleman, his mother-in-law, might want to do some asset protection to avoid paying for long-term care, and we kicked around some things there. Well, that would have been a great just 5 or 10 minute podcast. So we're going to interview clients who come in and have a situation. Maybe what they're going through could help someone else. So that's the goal of that podcast. So anyway, I will not be here next week. Doug Hughes and the gang, I'm sure, will do a bang-up job as they always do. So that's it. I'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Have a great week, or great 2 weeks, everybody. Goodbye.